The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, threats, abuse, and real-world intimidation are a very real factor on social media. And that type of bullying can have a seriously detrimental effect on those who experience it. Lockdown has seen a spike in the levels of misogynistic and racist insults being levelled at people, particularly on Twitter and Instagram. We've got a couple of guests to speak to. We've got the current Miss Ireland, Chelsea Farrell, who is with us. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi, good morning.
We have teacher, presenter and activist Emer O'Neill. Good morning, Emer.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good. And we've got postdoctoral researcher at the National Anti-Bullying Research and Resource Centre in DCU, Dr. Angela Mazzone. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And it's good to have you as well. So normally we'd be in a studio and I could see you all, but we're all on different Skype lines. So forgive me as I move the conversation between you. Emer, I want to go to you first of all. What did you experience and what impact did it have on you?
So I had a lot of bullying that and harassment that occurred kind of in person, in real life, but that also was mirrored online. I suppose the brunt of it began after I spoke on the Tuberty show. They posted our interview and of course I just went in to see the comments. Now some were really lovely and I definitely paid a lot of attention to those lovely comments, but there were quite a few that reflected things like why doesn't she just go back to her own country? She's bringing this on herself. It's, you know, black people like her that use the N-word. They're listening to too much rap. I was even discrimination and racism was compared to a person having red hair. You know, somebody said my child has red hair and gets bullied all the time. Get over it. Build a bridge. You know, so it's kind of like you're comparing 400 years of racism to having red hair. I think the gist of what I got was that some people just still aren't really, really getting it, you know. And when we talk about privilege, it's not that you haven't suffered through things in life, but the privilege that white people have, I suppose, is that you can walk into a room and not be discriminated against because of the colour of your skin. I've posted things on my social media. I'm a huge advocate for breastfeeding and for normalising that. And I had posted a picture of breastfeeding my child on my Instagram and as somebody wrote underneath, ugly blackie. I've my other child, he's quite a bit darker than me. He's half Jamaican, a quarter Nigerian and a quarter Irish. And under his picture was written weird looking kid. And I click on the profiles because a lot of people say, don't worry about it. They're not real people. They're all fake accounts. They're just trolls, whatever. That's not the case in a lot of these comments that I receive. Like I've clicked on some and I've had, you know, a man and his son in his profile picture. And, you know, it's a regular account, you know.
Sometimes they're nameless people, but sometimes they actually don't care. And you can identify who they are. Chelsea, let's talk to Emer because, I mean, she's had a very similar experience, unfortunately. Emer, what was it like for you and what kind of abuse was levelled at you?
When I won Miss Ireland is when it all kicked off for me, and initially it was just comments about my accent, about my weight, about my looks and little things like that that I didn't really think too much about. But in the initial lockdown that intensified and it developed into death threats and more intimidating messages. So I was getting threats to watch my back when I was out and about, you know, I'd be better off disappearing. And for me, the paranoia kicked in the sense that, yes, I was getting it all from fake accounts, but these fake accounts aren't fake people. So in the sense that then when I was out and about, I was constantly afraid of were these people around me, were these people going to act on their threats when I was out and about? So it left me very, very anxious and very worried because the fear of not knowing who this person was or who these people were absolutely destroyed me. And mentally, it was exhausting because you're constantly worried and constantly afraid of what could happen or who these people are. And for me, that was the hardest part. And I know it was all jealousy, and especially in lockdown, people had so much time in their hands. And when they seen someone online who was successful and doing well and looked happy, they just presumed that they had the right to torment this person and try and take them down. And it was an obsession, and it did get to the point where my own mental health really, really suffered, and I had to take the next step and get further further help and further people involved to try and help me out, because it was ridiculous.
What strikes me as most odd here in both of your stories is that it's easy to say that this lives in the online world, but Emer, your experience was that you were afraid that this was coming close to you. And you were seeing an impact in the community where you lived. And Chelsea, you were afraid walking out and about because people might identify you, and maybe some of the people making those comments might be there. Angela, is it unusual for that transition to happen? That what used to live on a server and could be easily left alone as their only internet trolls, what harm can they do to people being afraid in their real lives?
I believe that mostly people tend to believe that there is a separation between the online world and the offline one. But actually, I think that there's a strong connection between the two. So, of course, what happens online can be harmful and has implications and consequences in the offline world. So I believe that it's especially these days, while people are increasingly using social media and digital technologies, I believe it's very important to keep in mind that what we are doing online and the words that we are using online can be as much as harmful as the words that we use offline. So I don't think there is a huge separation.
Emer, my belief always has been that online they're the worst kind of bullies, because if you stand up to them at all, they scurry away. Do you think they've become more emboldened in the last while? And would they, the bottom line, would they say it to your face if you were standing in front of them, that which they put on a post?
I would agree with Chelsea in the fact that people have had a lot of time on their hands with lockdown, and they definitely have become more brazen with their comments and not afraid that they're sending them from actual original accounts as well. I've often said, like, with the graffiti that, you know, my name being plastered around the place, you know, a couple of doors down from me, there was acid poured on my neighbour's car, and the sergeant came and explained to me that he believed that was meant for us. We both have SUVs, and they're an elderly couple. It made no sense that that would happen. And it was within a series of incidents that occurred, like with my house being egged and graffiti in my own estate. I've often said that I would love to talk to these people. Like, I almost feel bad for them that they walk around with so much hate in their heart. And I believe if we could even sit and talk about things and agree to disagree on certain issues, but just to hear, you know, both sides and realize, like, I'm a mother, I've got two kids here. We've had to get cameras in the front and the back of our house, like, because it's become I feel like unsafe. I'm unsure what's going to happen when my son says to me, he's six, can I go out and play with my friends? I'm hesitant because I don't know who might approach him when he's out playing.
Chelsea, if you went off social media, would that help? I mean, have you considered doing that?
People have said this to me. Why don't you, like, you're bringing it on yourself? If you don't want this trouble, why are you speaking about it? And get offline. Why should I have to do that? Why should I not be allowed to have the freedom to be on social media just like everybody else? Again, here comes more discrimination. And I do believe that in the face of adversity, if people were to step back and hide away and not keep speaking out, the world we live in at the moment would be a very different place. And I feel like this is no different. It gives me more fuel to my fire the more harassment that I receive. It's not that I enjoy it by any means, but I want to ensure that the people of Ireland can see what's going on, because there are a lot of people that believe that there is no racism in Ireland, and that's clearly incorrect.
Your experience kind of puts that one to bed quite quickly. And you have a right to be on social media as much as any of the other people who are dipping in and deciding to abuse you for whatever particular reason. Well, look, stay strong, Emer. I know that means nothing in the real world, and to hell with your bullies, for both you and for Chelsea, and we wish you both the best. To get into the minds of people who do that kind of thing, and the little bit of abuse we all get in social media and sitting in a radio studio at the odd time, I get it, but nothing close to what you guys are dealing with. Emer O'Neill, Chelsea Farrell and Dr. Angela Mazzone from DCU, thank you all very much for joining us. what goes through someone's mind that they would decide that another human being can be treated like that, particularly when you don't know, just because they put up a social media post? You need to catch yourself on if you think that's in any way remotely acceptable.